Hey, welcome to the podcast here. It is December 8th, 2008. It's just me today and Ralph Perez.
Yep, so the meeting had to be out.
Yeah, so we are going to talk about a vast array of issues. We are hoping you can join the conversation. And if you have any feedback before we even get started, let us know. Let us know if you have any ideas. I know that some people have actually, when they listen to the podcast, you know, they've met some needs that we've talked about, or not even that, not our needs, but other people's needs that have had had needs, or they've given ideas. You know, we had a question and they've given feedback. So it's been huge. So we appreciate all of that feedback.
Yeah.
So
in the pre-podcast meeting, the first thing that came up was I asked you whether, you know, how much money came in, or not how much money, but whether there was a good response, you know, for the Christmas gift that we were given to a family. Kevin, why don't you just tell them exactly what we're doing?
Sure.
So they have an idea if they haven't heard.
Last year we went ahead and we gave to a family who was in need. And we had a big response, I thought, from last year. And we're doing the same thing again this year. And a lot of people gave to it. And it's funny, it's because I even felt like they gave more to the need. And it just kind of reaffirms that people give the needs, if that makes sense. You know, we don't really give out an obligation, but we do. When there's a problem, we want to solve it, you know, or when there's a need, we want to give to it.
Yeah.
So
that's one of the reasons we do that is because we're really kind of sensitive of what a person, maybe a person who's never been to church, what they're thinking about our church. And I know I shared with you, a good friend of mine came to church, never really is not a person that goes to church much. And when we said that we're not going to pass around the offering plate, that was the one thing that stuck out in her mind.
Right.
She said she loved that most, that we came out and said, we're not about money. If you're here for the first time, please don't give. She thought it was cool because she felt like it went a long way to say, like, you know, you kind of expect churches to talk about money.
Right.
And but today, this morning or this afternoon on the podcast, it's kind of a different venue.
Yeah.
I think in that we're not in service where there could be visitors or people who've never been to church. The people that are listening to this podcast are probably the people that are regular attenders.
Right, regular attenders.
So we can address it
right
more openly as far as giving.
Sure. And I think to a downfall, sometimes we don't mention it enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, had a particular instance where someone went to a different type of church and they said, hey, they passed the offering plate or offering, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And they said it was weird and awkward. And I'm thinking,
can we say what church it was?
Yeah.
No?
Nah, let's leave it out.
Well, it's like, not awkward what they do.
No, it's not.
It was awkward for the person to even see a plate.
Right, it was awkward for them to see a plate because it was an unchurched person in our church. They went to another church and they passed our plate. They were like, it was so weird. And we're like thinking,
they must be all about money.
Yeah, which is funny because it happens in every single church in America. You know what I'm saying? I don't know too many churches. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, stroke our ego. I'm just saying I just don't know any churches yet.
Yeah, there are very few churches there.
I do know one.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure there are a handful. But
yeah, so like I said, it's not an evil thing to pass an offering plate
or even
all.
To talk about money. So we do need to talk about it a little bit because going into a new year, I think you always want to build on the year that you've had, you know, before. You never want to kind of downsize.
Right.
And we were able to accomplish a lot. We moved into the Palladium this year.
Yeah.
We, you know, purchased a lot of lights and sound equipment this year.
Yeah.
And you know, next year, we want to be able to...
Which is okay. You know, those are fixed things. You know what I'm saying? They're not reoccurring expenses.
Yeah. But going into the new year, we want to be able to accomplish more.
Right.
For our community, for people, you know, in our church that are in need. And the only way we can do that is if our people give.
Right. Right. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about giving, you know, why do you give or where do you start? And we had just had an interesting conversation even before the podcast talking about, hey, you know, someone's not giving at all. And then all of a sudden a church says, hey, give 10%.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. And you may be thinking right now, like, where how do you start off with 10%?
Right. And I'm sure you've heard something about it.
Yeah.
In
the
you
Old
know,
Testament,
right.
Abraham gave an offering and he gave a tenth.
Right.
Of, you know, all of his stuff, basically.
Right. There's a lot of scriptures.
Yeah. And from there, it kind of became, you know, like the way you gave. It was to give a tenth of your increase of what came in.
Right.
And so a lot of churches say, well, if you're a member, you need to give 10%. I think being a little bit more realistic, people that have never given to church, 10% of their income may seem like a lot, even though it's not really.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a huge step of faith, you know. And so we were saying, hey, you know, even if you didn't give 10%, maybe 2% or 4%, or even looking at your finances to know where you're at, which I know that's a big deal today, that most people don't even know where they're at in their finances. Yeah. So to say, I don't even know what 10% is of my income. You know, I don't even know where I stand. So
yeah, and if you're out there in podcast land, if you're a regular attender at Imagine Fellowship, there's a lot of things that, well, I would say there aren't a lot of things that we ask our people to do. I think we ask them to be actively sharing their faith with their friends.
Spiritual habits.
Yeah, you know. Spiritual habits, you know, actively reading their Bible and praying, seeking people out that they can, that they're friends with already, that they can share their faith with. And
developing relationships. Yeah.
And I think supporting their church financially. So if you haven't started doing that, don't feel any pressure, but you should probably talk to Kevin, talk to myself.
Yeah, ask questions. That's all we're asking is definitely ask questions and say, hey, I have a question about this. And, you know, I think we're going to do a new series called Money Talks. And we're, I mean, that's
next year.
Yeah, next year, it's going to be called Money Talks, because we're going to actually have a question and answer session and bring people up on stage and have them share like some stories and stuff like that. So it'll be a really good time to talk about money. But I know that most people think tithe, oh, 10% of my money. And it's like, they're like, man, 10% is a lot. And it's, God asks for all of us.
Yeah, and
I mean, not just money. I mean,
yeah. At the same time, people might be giving 10%, but the rest of their life is just falling apart because they're not being authentic. Right. They're not reading their Bible. Like, what good is your 10%? You know, or if people give it like dues. You know, like it's still an offering. It's something we do willingly.
Yeah.
So, but I think people will find it very rewarding to see, you know, the fruits of supporting their church,
right?
And how really invested they feel when they know they're not just behind their church in attendance,
right?
But they're also behind their church financially.
Yeah, and the only way that we will be able to, not the only way, I'll back off that statement for a second, but one of the ways that we're going to be able to plant as many churches as we are is because we're serving more. We're, you know, going deeper in our faith with Christ. You know what I'm saying? All those types of things, which includes giving more, if that makes sense. So, and I know Shannon and I have talked about, like, you know, giving more than 10%, like, every year, you know, until I know there are some pastors that are just amazing that they do what's called a reverse tithe. They give away 90% and keep 10. Right. So, you know, but I know they're in a different, probably a different stage of life as well, not a church planner.
Yeah, and I think with that said, I think we have a lot of people who give really faithfully.
Yes, which we are so thankful. I cannot tell you how thankful we are. And, you know, it's funny because money is such a taboo issue in church, you know?
Yeah,
and
it really is.
I think, you know, maybe I should just be more honest, like I'm more honest with everything else. And not to say I'm dishonest, I'm just saying that, like, just bring up the subject more, you know? I don't think too many people. The only problem is there's a lot of people that are jaded about money in churches.
And that's, the podcast, I think, is a good avenue for us to kind of talk about this because, again, like in our service, you know, we have so many people who have never been to church or have, you know, certain misconceptions about church. Churches are all about money.
Right.
And then, you know, if we're talking about, well, you need to be given this much, it may even further turn them off, which in end hurts our ultimate goal, which is helping people kind of come into a relationship with Christ.
Yeah, the goal is definitely not to make money.
Right.
I mean, for sure.
Right. So, let's talk about the relational web. It's the end of the year. I just have a question. If you had to put a letter grade on how we've done as far as facilitating the relational web, where would you say we are?
I mean, you mean grade myself?
Grade, no, not yourself. Okay. But as far as just grade the relational web.
Sure.
You know, not how much you've promoted it, but just how you see the web operating right now versus, I guess, ideally what you thought it would do.
Yeah, I thought that people would engage more, if that makes sense, which maybe that was an idealistic viewpoint, that people were going to go out of their way to find others or not even find others, but like even if there's newcomers to the church, they'd be more willing to reach that person, which we found it's not the case. It's almost like you're trying to break a social barrier, which we knew that in the relational web. We talked about that, reaching your friends that you already knew. And the problem is when you're done reaching your friends, I mean, you know, you only have three friends.
Right.
And then where do you go? You know, I mean, how do you affect and change people's lives if you don't, you know, if it's hard for you to break that barrier? So that's why we changed it. We changed it mid-year. We went to connect groups and grow groups to where, you know, there's at least avenues now to do that. And we're still working on it.
Yeah.
We're still working on that.
Yeah. I know one of the things we've talked about a lot in staff is kind of how do we help facilitate relationships? How do we be a part? How can we be a part of of facilitating authentic relationships that will, in turn, however long it takes, but in time, will breed into those people being able to do that with somebody else. And I know for Sarah and I, you know, back in March, we faced some hurdles in our marriage. We came to you and Shayna. We dealt with those, but it really brought a lot of authenticity.
Yeah.
And just recently, we've had an opportunity to kind of spend some time with other people and be authentic that way. And it seems so much like so that we're reproducing what we experienced with you guys. I know we would hang out almost, you know, pretty often, you know.
Right.
And just recently, we've kind of gone down.
Yeah.
You know, backed off of that so we can both kind of spend time with other people. You want to talk about that a little bit? I guess.
Yeah. It's I think it's a slower process, and I think we kind of knew that in the beginning. Like, we knew that it was going to be this slower process because relationships take time. You know, it's not like you're going to go boom, all of a sudden you're going to have a relationship. So it's kind of like we have the service, which is going on, which is operating pretty quickly, and we have more numbers and everything. But at the same time, it takes a little bit longer for them to assimilate, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then it takes even longer for people to be more authentic. It takes even longer for them to change. So
yeah.
it takes a while for that process to happen. So it's like the relational web is trailing our service, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like they come in, somehow they come in through the service, or they come in through a friend, and then they start into this process to where they're finally into an authentic relationship. And so you could be at our service or in our quote-unquote our church for a long time and still not be in a relational web, because we consider that is when you're being authentic with the things you're struggling with, that you're tithing, that you're being a full member in the sense of you're reading your Bible every day, that you're trying to reach people for Christ. Yeah, those types of things. And so that is truly when you're in the relational web. And I think it actually makes, to a certain extent, like a partnership or membership status much more, I don't know.
Well, let's unpack the idea of membership a little bit more.
That's okay. My phone.
Our cell phone's going off during our meeting.
Yeah.
Unpack the idea of membership. A lot of churches do membership.
Right.
We've talked about this a little bit, I think, on a podcast. Lots of churches do membership where they do like a 101 class, where they're doing a big corporate class. We've decided just recently to do something really different. We've worked on some curriculum, a one-on-one curriculum, where we'll engage people one-on-one, people who we see are, you know, regular attenders, faithful attenders, plugged in, and people who would say, yeah, you know, this is our church, and we're ready to be on board 100% and do whatever we needed to do, whatever that entails.
Whatever that entails.
And so I just want to real quick, if you're listening to the podcast and you'd say, I want to be a partner with Imagine Fellowship, and I want to solidify that by knowing, you know, Imagine's history, Imagine's philosophy, the who, what, where, you know, when and why of Imagine, talk to Kevin or I so that we can go through that curriculum with you and kind of empower you, because one of the things we're going to allow people to do is we're going to allow them
to do the same.
Right, to do the membership class.
We're starting it, but we're definitely not going to finish it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's going to be other people that are stepping up to administer that, you know, and once they kind of, you know, go through the curriculum. I mean, not in the sense of the curriculum, but just they have a willing heart to do the same.
Right.
And
the curriculum's not long. It's not like a four-week thing. It's probably you could go through it in one night. But the idea is that attender X, weekend attender, goes through the partnership curriculum with us. And then we give them a copy. And they, you know, over time, they become really good friends. And their friends start to come to our church. And they get really plugged in. And they can do the curriculum with somebody else.
Right. And it might be a while before someone goes through a one-on-one. Like our initial idea wasn't to do it like, you know, you go to the service, you don't know Christ, 2 weeks later you're in the partnership. No, probably not. You know, yeah, it's probably it's going to take some time before you, probably that happens. Cuz it's kind of different. It's not like saying, "Hey, just come to our membership class." It's more like we're kind of going after those people. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a mutual thing, you know, more relational. So,
yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the leadership stuff. Every week in staff, we go over some leadership stuff. This week's was the law of the process.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Story about a lady who I think she was 101 years old.
Yes.
When she died. And she, you know, little by little had been saving up money after she retired.
She made $3,154, something like that, a year.
Yeah, that's
what she made.
Yeah, she was making $3,000 a year.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
and she got Social Security and a pension for about 50 years. She lived about 50 years after she retired.
Right, it was a long time.
Yeah, and the book says she lived really shabbily, right? Just meager circumstances. And when she died, she willed her, you know, her small little estate.
Small estate.
To a college. How much was that estate, Kevin?
$22 million.
$22 million.
Yeah, and you're thinking, how did she do that?
How did she do that?
Yeah, and it was what this guy in this book, John Maxwell, 28 Laws of Leadership, and this is an old book, but still a great one. It was called the law process, where every day she just took one step closer to the goal that she wanted to have.
Right.
I mean, she was very frugal. She went to the library every week to read her newspaper. She didn't even order a newspaper.
She kept reinvesting her money.
Right. In dividends. And I think she bought 1,000 shares of a stock of a company.
It split and turned into 127,000 shares.
Yeah.
Worth $7 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just stuck with it.
She just stuck with it every day. She knew where she wanted to go, and she stuck with it every day. And just kind of real...
And so the chapter is all about how you can save $22 million. No, it's not what the chapter is about at all.
Because they end up talking about Theodore Roosevelt, who was a process guy, and a bunch of other guys who were process thinkers.
The idea is about, you know, I wrote some notes as I was reading the chapter. Daily discipline, the daily discipline of personal growth.
Yeah.
Investing in your leadership ability. But, you know, it's so hard to do it on a daily basis.
That's the challenge, and I think that's the challenge for anybody that wants to be someone who's influencing people, because that's the challenge to do it every single day or weekly.
Yeah, it applies to everything, being a husband, being a father, everything. You know, like
anybody that says they don't want to be a leader or an influencer, I mean, they definitely don't know. I mean, I think they're misconstrued or they have a different thought process, because you have to influence your spouse.
Well, anybody that's ever won a PlayStation 3 or a new car or a season ticket, you have to influence your spouse.
Right.
Yeah. So
those are important things, by the way.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, so we read that a little bit, and I think I felt really personally challenged, because I know that I think generally I want to be a better leader.
Right.
But I think the true test of that is, how do I bring that down to a level where I'm doing something on a daily basis?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked about that a little bit. I mean, not too much, but, you know, reading books. I know on the blog I've put out a list of good leadership type books that are out there. And if you have any questions, you can email us for sure. There's so many podcasts out now. It's not even funny. I mean, most churches
find leadership stuff
all over the place. So always huge in that sense. But like I said, most of the people that I know are reading. They're reading. They're reading like crazy. Like if they're on a train or a plane or, you know, a car, they're listening to a CD on book on tape.
One of the very cool things that John Maxwell did early on in his leadership was, he says he put aside $100.
Yeah.
And he sent letters to the 10 top leaders in his field and asked them if he could pay them $100 for 30 minutes of their time.
Right.
This was 30 years ago, so you know, $100 wasn't nothing. But I thought, that's $1,000, you know, 10 leaders at $100 a piece, $1,000 that he was going to invest in his future.
His leadership.
Yeah. By spending time with other people. So I would challenge people, if you're listening and you may not feel like a leader because you're just a secretary at work, or you're just a stay at home mom.
That's
the
misconception.
Yeah.
You can't influence because of your position, which is totally...
Yeah, we're reading this book and learning that influence or leadership is about influence.
Right.
Has nothing to do with position.
Right.
So I would challenge, do whatever it takes to become a better leader. You know, whether it's picking somebody's brain and just kind of asking somebody questions that you know is a better leader.
Right. And if you don't want to say the word leader, great. Just say mom. Just say dad.
Better mom, better husband.
Yeah. You can say that as well. You're saying the same exact thing, you know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's get into kind of some nuts and bolts of really what we do in staff meeting, which is kind of like trying to forecast and brainstorm for the future.
Right.
Quick announcement. We won't be having service on the 28th.
Correct.
The last Sunday of the year, there won't be any service. Our last Sunday of the year will be the 21st.
Yeah, we're going to do that pretty much yearly. The weekend after Christmas, we probably will not, you know, after our Christmas service, we won't have a service, because it's just the... Notoriously, no one's back, you know.
Yeah, everybody's gone.
Yeah, and we have a lot of college kids that are going to be out, you know, in different cities, so.
Yeah, so the 28th, there won't be any service. Our first service will be the 4th, the first
Correct.
Service of the year. So, but we've been kind of brainstorming about service times. Last week, or this last couple of weeks, we've been kind of talking about moving a service to 11 o'clock, which would be make it a little bit easier for some people, you know, who have a hard time waking up. Our target audience, people who don't go to church.
Yes.
You know, people who are probably out on Saturdays.
Yeah, they go out later.
Yeah, but we're running into some issues, 11 o'clock issues.
Right, because the theater doesn't want to cooperate with this. And I don't know, if you have another church and you're working with theater, you know there's a lot of details that go into that because, you know, they're looking to maximize revenue. Obviously, they're trying to make money as, you know, in the sense of getting as many people they can in those seats. And so we take their biggest theater, you know, they're saying, hey, look, you're going later in the day. That's later into my profits is what we're doing. So they're saying, hey, we can come back and go into a smaller theater. So I have a meeting set up. You know, we're going to see how that works out, if it works out in the sense of going into a different theater. So hopefully it does. Hopefully it does. It works out so where we can be in a different theater. It still fits us. And we're at 11 o'clock service.
Yeah. And so, just one of the things to give you an idea of why we're even talking about this or why it's such a big deal is that, so as the church continues to grow next year and, and the year after that, and eventually when we need that big auditorium, but we can't be at 11 o'clock because, you know, it just doesn't work out. So we're trying to figure out how we'll, you know, be able to sustain an 11 o'clock service, you know, over, you know, as long as we're going to need, you know, over the long haul.
Right. Because we were talking about the second service, which when does that time go? So, you know, saying, hey, 9:45 or 10, you know.
Yeah, but probably it'll go earlier than the 11 o'clock service, so about 9:30, 9:45 for people who'd want to go earlier.
Right.
Yeah, so all ideas that we're trying to kind of figure out for the new year. Kevin, one more thing. Actually, I just have one more thing that we're going to talk about. You had an idea for a service about with an auctioneer.
Yeah. I think probably last week or the week before that I emailed you Acts 2.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, what does this mean to you? You know?
Basically what the chapter said is that everybody had everything in common. There were no needs among the believers.
Right, right. And I said, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about that. And we've been kicking around a bunch of ideas. You know, what does that mean? And, you know, this last couple of days, I've been thinking about this series called auctioneers or something like that. I don't know, something in that regards where it's an auction.
And auction off needs is what we're doing.
That's exactly what we're doing. We could call it that.
Yeah.
If you have a better name, let us know for the thing. But we'll tell you what it's about. Where, you know, you maybe write something down. It's something that's just a vital need that you have.
Tell me the original idea, and we'll tell them how it fleshed out to
something different. Makes sense. I was thinking, hey, I'll just stand up there, and this is Kevin thinking. I'll just stand up there and I'll close everybody's eyes. You can say, hey, guys, close your eyes. And then I'm going to say, hey, who needs, you know, a dishwasher or who needs something like that? And then
hopefully they raise their hands.
They raise their hands. So there's no awkwardness about knowing that you need it. And then I'd say, hey, who can supply that? And then somebody else raises their hand. Then boom, all of a sudden, need met.
Need met,
you know? And
because that's what's happening.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, well, need met.
Need met.
Yeah, that's a good, I like that title for the series.
Yeah.
Well, that's what was happening in the early church.
And that's what the question was, you know, how did they do that, you know? And we thought maybe this can facilitate. And so Ralph was like, hey, well, I like it, but how do we know? He's like, hey, I need $500. Then everyone was going to raise their hand.
Yeah, $500. Oh, well, I do.
I do too, yeah. So he's thinking, hey, I said, well, what if we wrote it down? He's like, see, that's what I was thinking. That's what you said, right?
Yeah, so we could write it down. And then we kind of thought, well, we're trying to address two issues. The first one is we need to be authentic with our needs.
Right.
A lot of times we have needs, but we're just so embarrassed of sharing them that we just struggle without that thing that we need.
Right.
Right. So somebody needs, you know, it's a freezing cold outside. They need a washer or, you know, their washer broke. So they're having to go to the laundromat all the time and they just need a washer. But they're so terrified of making that need known that the need doesn't get met.
Yeah. And the thing with that, too, there's like a deeper need as well. It's like, hey, you know, someone says, I need $500. Well, maybe they need some financial counseling as well.
Right.
You know?
I mean, yeah, but they're too embarrassed to even ask anybody.
Right. They don't want to ask because they're thinking, oh, well, no one has these problems and I don't want to go through this, or it's painful just to think about going through my...
Like if you said, like, I need some banana nut muffins.
Yes.
Right? So you're just too embarrassed to say, like, those wheat banana nut muffins are so good. Right. Right. But the whole idea of, right, making your needs... telling people about your needs,
right?
So the idea that we're trying to address two issues. The first one is people need to be honest about, and I think the underlying issue is authenticity.
Yeah, that is it.
Pride.
Yeah, and we talked, I mean, a little bit about that last weekend, but it was a smidget of it, you know, and right. I think it would be a great way to readdress it.
Yeah, again. And the second issue we're trying to address is that people need to be stepping up to meet others' needs.
Yeah, yeah, but, and sometimes that it's even on our end to say, hey, what can I help you with? But I mean, right. there's also the thing, you can ask somebody, what can I help you with? And they say, nothing. If they don't tell you. If they don't tell you.
Everything's good.
Everything's great.
Fine. Except I need a washer, but I'm not going to tell you because right. I think I'm lying and saying everything's fine.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So we want to try to teach people to be authentic, and we want to teach them that we need to have this kind of extraordinary sacrificial love.
Yeah.
Right. And so that series will probably be next year. It's going to be next year
for sure. I mean, I know we have what love, respect, sex, money talks, addict.
Yeah. Sorry. Addict. Yeah, and yeah, Addict will be another series that we're doing about addictions. And then we'll be starting the year off with kind of a, I don't know, like a, it's not State of the Union, but just kind of an idea of where we're headed.
Right.
A roadmap
vision,
for the new
I mean, a lot of people
year.
Say Vision 2009. I mean, we'll come up with something else, but.
Yeah, so we'll start the year off with that. So, but I'm excited about that series because I think that, man, we could change the city if we started saying, I'm going to sacrificially meet people's needs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to break down and I'm going to cancel my cable.
Right.
So I can pay your you know, insurance.
Right.
You know,
it's like, a sacrifice.
Yeah. But can you imagine how somebody's lives would be changed? You know,
right.
if we said like, you know, I'm going to scale back on,
right.
instead of having 128 channels, I'm only going to have 68 channels. Like,
right. Which
you know,
there's nothing
like,
on those 128 channels anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So man, if our people could just learn, if I could learn to sacrificially love people, you know, and say, I'm going to kind of downsize.
Right.
So that I can be a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
Man, lives would change all over the place.
Right. The need, though, has to be met with authenticity, though. Because
right.
if not, like I said, you can meet a need. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And then the transaction is kind of quote-unquote over, where the goal was really to say, look, this is a real person with real issues. And, you know, maybe they need more help than just that, you know. Because I always think those types of things are, there's something going on, you know, underneath in the heart. So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think the idea, yes, that change, we're going to see change.
Yeah.
So I think 2009 is going to be an amazing year.
Yeah,
you know, I
I'm
think
looking
we're
going to
be doing
it.
Some stuff that kind of like puts us out there a little bit as far as stretching our faith.
Yeah,
and challenging
sure.
our people. You
for
know?
Sure. Yeah, we've had some ideas that, and like I said, I'm not going to explore them because they're like squirrel ideas, you know,
mm-hmm.
like in the sense that. You know, we don't know if they're going to grow into an elephant or something like that, but
yeah, exciting stuff.
Yeah, but the big idea is a big squirrel, you know? I mean,
it's
crazy stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, some of you, I think probably we've picked some people's brains about it a little bit, and but some kind of revolution, I would say it's revolutionary.
I'd use the word.
Yeah.
But there again, we don't want to throw it out there because then everyone's going to get disappointed because, you know, we'll come up with 500 ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll
you
be a lot
will
more,
come out
there'll
ideas.
Be a lot more revolutionary ideas, so.
Yeah.
Things for our people to be thinking about this week, things that are on your
heart. Yeah, just for this week, you know, it's the holiday season,
mm-hmm.
you know, I meant, I don't like these type of phrases, but it's the only thing that's coming to my, brain housing group right now, an attitude of gratitude, you know, I think Ed Young said
that's,
that possibly. Yeah. But
that's good. Attitude, gratitude.
No, I don't know who says it, but I mean, it's a holiday season, you know, it's Christmas season, you know, and I think, you know, sometimes we're a little bit of the Scrooge comes out in us because we're worried about this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So the good way to get rid of that is to be authentic with somebody.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, saying, hey, look, I'm going through this. You're not on an island.
Sure.
So that's huge. So that's been on my heart. And then just 2009 has really been on my heart. You know, what are we going to do for this next year?
Yeah,
what do we do in our daily routine that's going to affect all next year? Even on the blog today, I wrote about it, like in the sense of our goals. What
do
you
think? Sarah and I, we're about to kind of sit down and just make some goals, you know,
just
for our family, you know, goals for our marriage. Last night we asked some friends of ours, just quickly, what aside from God, right, our relationship with God, what thing in your life would completely revolutionize your 2009.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I think Sarah and I need to answer that question, you know.
No, it's a good question to ask. I think it's crucial to do it now because January 1st is going to come too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, it's January 1st, and I'm going to try to, on New Year's Day, I'm going to try to figure out, it's a process. It's going to take a little time to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to start right now. So.
All right, so that's the podcast for this week. Hope everybody has a good week.
Yep. Have a great one. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please feel free to email us or Twitter us. Our Twitter is Imagine Church and Ralph P. Email addresses are kevin@imaginefellowship.org and
Ralph P. at imaginefellowship.org.
And we will see you next time.